I woke up this morning all exhausted.
It's a dad joke. I'm sorry, guys. You know, I'm a dad, so, you know, you got to have that. My kids love it when I say all those goofy things. I mean, they're like, Dad, come on, come on. All right, so Isaiah 6, 1 through 8, the vision, you know. And so here Isaiah is seeing this, but is he really seeing it? Is it happening in front of him? Not really. I mean, he's just, all of a sudden, he's got some, he sees it in his mind's eye, right? Whether he was sleeping, whether he had a dream, not sure. There's all kinds of things, right? I mean, but he's seeing this vision of how magnificent God is in his glory. In his glory, right? And so, you know, how awesome is our Creator and Maker of the heavens and the earth, who is sovereign over all his creation and kingdom. The verse for today that I get from the YouVersion app, right? And I get this every day, right? And I read it. Revelation 4:11. You are worthy, our Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. You know? And I mean, it's just like everything. I wrote at the very top of our little handout here, for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. And that's Colossians 1:16, the message, right? So, when you think about that, and Isaiah has this, and from his mind's eye, he sees this vision of God's glory sitting upon his throne, right? And what was his response? What was his response?
I'm not worthy.
I'm not worthy. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever gotten that close to God? And what was your response? I'm not worthy. Man, there's been two times in my life where I've gotten that close to God. I think there's probably more than that, because I told you I've used up 9 lives, right? So, but there was 2 specific times, and I had that mind's eye that I saw the glory of God, and I literally got down on the floor and was prostrate on the floor, laying with my head face down on the ground, and I couldn't get deeper in the ground because of the heaviness and the awe and the magnificence and the power of God Almighty sitting upon me and sitting there. And I'm just like, I am not worthy, Lord. I shouldn't even be here. I've just seen my burning bush, and I need to take my shoes off, because Rick's got his off right now. You know, I need to take my shoes off because I'm not worthy. And I don't know if you've had that experience, but I pray that you do have that experience. Because you got to have a compelling future. Gary and I were talking about this morning about the circumstances of life, right? And we all have circumstances. We're all faced with problems, trials, tribulations, and all these things. And they're still happening when we know Jesus, right? Just because you know Jesus doesn't mean it gets any easier in the world. I know Sam talked about it. It gets easier, but life's hard, no matter what. That's one of the basic principles of understanding life. And so, how do you have a compelling future? What is your future? Are you living for now, or are you living for eternity? What does eternity look like? Do you have that in your vision of what eternity looks like? Are you looking for the well done, good and faithful servant? And then, you know, we're only here for maybe 100 years less, something, some in time frame. It's like a gnat on a buffalo's butt, or maybe an elephant, right? Compared to, we're going to be billions and billions and billions of years hanging out with God. Man, when I put that in perspective, and I have the right focus, and I have the right vision, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? I can do all things. All things are possible with God. All things. So all I got to do is hang back. I don't need to be anxious. I don't need to be worried. I don't need to be fretting. I can just say, man, God, you got this. This is your problem. Let's keep rolling. I got a vision of you, how awesome and glorifying and amazing you really are. And so I need to stay focused on that. But how many times do we get distracted from that? And so that's why I love these retreats, because we can literally retreat from the world. We come together as like-minded believers and brothers, and we can say, you know what? I got a compelling future. Let's remember that. Let's don't forget that. I think that's one of the disciplines I've learned through my years of walking with the Lord, is remembering. That's a godly discipline that I got to have in my life, is to remember where I came from and where I'm going. And this stuff is just temporary. Where's my citizenship? Where is it, fellas?
Heaven.
Heaven. We're citizens of heaven, right? Do you know Jesus Christ? You're a citizen of heaven. I got to remember where I'm going. I can't forget where I'm going. So I need to have 2 days in my mind. Well, really, I need to live right now. I need to know where I came from. I need to live right now. And I got to remember where I'm going. And so just to have that understanding. And so here Isaiah has this understanding. And so anybody want to share about what your kind of vision of God is? Anybody? Thoughts?
My kind of current Timothy, I like you just said, I stressed to him that, when it's all said and done, there's going to be those who believe in Christ as Lord and Savior and those that don't. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ as I am, and I pray one day that you will be, that we will be spending eternity in heaven. Eternity is forever. I mean, it's just, like I said, it's forever. And we're here for a breath of time. And and as I'm walking with Christ in this temporal time, I'm building my future in heaven, is what's going on. That's why I'm here. I'm here for you. God wants me to be here. And I'm looking to the future. What does that look like? God's the future for me, and I pray it will be for you. But if not, the alternative is not going to be pretty, It's going to be separation from God. So it's a choice we all have a choice to make. And so again, looking to, moving towards the future, and what that looks like. That's God and heaven and paradise, And I try to instill that in my Timothy's to say, it's a choice we're all going to have to make. And at the end of the day, working with divers and all that have been, crazy boys all these years. You want hellfire, or you want to be diving 200 feet of water and dealing with the phosphorescent, the beautifulest thing you've ever seen underwater. I mean, there you go.
For sure. No, it's awesome. And Jim talked about another piece of just understanding that, I said that, I've used up quite a few of my lives. If you have some of those, if that is the case, I'm not sure. That's just an old saying, right? But I think, what I found, and then you ask people and you talk to people, and I don't know if you've discovered this in your own life, but when you are closest to death, do you feel truly, fully alive? Have you ever been to a funeral? And what did you focus on at the funeral? What did it remember? What did it remind you of?
Your mortality.
That's right. And what did it make you grateful for?
That day.
And did you not feel like, wow, I'm still alive. I still got time. Isn't that a beautiful thing? I wake up every morning and I'm like, Lord, thank you for another day of life. Before I hit my feet on the ground, I'm thanking him for another day of life, because I could be gone. And I get another day, brand new day. This is a whole new day to do. It's a clean sheet of paper that I can get to write my life story on for another day, right? And every time I go to a funeral, and I used to hate going to funerals. I hated it. But after I came to know Christ and I started going to funerals a lot, I started realizing the preciousness of life, how fragile it is and how precious it is. And to realize that, you know, that scarcity of the time that we have here on this earth, what are we giving our lives to? What are we investing in? What is the focus of my life? What is the center of my life? So if I asked you, and a lot of times people ask, you know, well, what's important in your life? And they always say, well, check your checkbook, right? Well, they don't really have. I guess they still have checkbooks. TJ paid for a check today, so I didn't even know they still had checkbooks. But anyway. But, you know, what's important in your life, right? But I'm sorry, John, I know. But anyway, what's important in your life? What's the center of your life, right? And so when you think about Isaiah and he's got this vision, Paul had a vision too, right? Paul got blinded. His was real. I mean, it became that he was blinded by a light, and then he had a clear vision of Jesus in his life, right? And then, of course, Jesus talked about, in terms of John 14, 1 through 6, what's our inheritance in Christ? And there's multiple scriptures. I've got tons of them, right? I mean, we're predestined. And we have a purpose in Romans 8, 28, Ephesians 1, 11 through 12. And then, of course, Jesus says his own. He's like, I've brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. That was Jesus' prayer, you know, John 17, and I brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. So we all have a work to do, right? He says that in Ephesians 2:10, that I created you for good works. So he's created every one of us in this room for good works. So what is that? What are we on this earth for? Why are we here? So the last, but on the vision, it's in Proverbs 20:19. A lot of people probably know that verse as well. But where there's no vision or revelation, people perish, right? So where there's no vision, people perish. Do you have a vision? Or are you just perishing? You know, Craig Groeschel talks about his quote, and I put in there that everybody ends up somewhere, but few end up somewhere on purpose. So where are you going to end up? Where are you going to end up? And so that's what we're asking God this weekend, right? Is where do you want us to end up, Lord? Because I want to hear from you. I don't want to hear from Russell. I want to hear from you. Kevin Ring talked about it. He said, if you don't have a vision worth dying for, it's not worth living. So if you don't have a vision worth dying for, it's not worth living. Solomon, or whoever wrote Ecclesiastes, said it's better to be in the house of the mourning than it is in the house of the feasting. Most people feel fully alive, as I said, when they're closest to death. Because they're grateful. They're grateful for the opportunities to wake up and participate with God and what He's doing today, right? In people's lives. And then in Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, this is my life verse. It's the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and in the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. Of His splendor. So, gentlemen, we are all oaks of righteousness in this room. And we're a display of the Lord's splendor. So I hope you have that vision. Because that vision of ministry is the ultimate rescue story of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's reaching down through His hands and or through our hands and our feet to set the captives free. right, from sin and Satan, and to build them up to be mature and strong oaks of righteousness so that they may go out and do the same. That's what our vision is. That's what our ministry is about. That's what I think the ministry towards a mission is all about. The end result of spiritual reproduction and the glory to God, because He's the one that's growing and producing the fruit through our service. And man, there's no other place that you're going to get that than this movement of men. It's amazing. And of course, this is only possible if I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And when you see the potential impact that you have from Isaiah 60:22, right? The least will become a thousand, the smallest a mighty nation. When you see the thousand people, I mean, do you have that vision? I remember Dave Rathkamp talked about it in one of the retreats one time. He said, I just see myself sitting in heaven, and then all of a sudden, this one person comes walking in the door, and it's a guy I discipled. And then I see another guy that he discipled come walking in the door. And I see another guy that he discipled come walking in the door. And man, I'm just sitting here watching, and there's a thousand guys coming walking in the door because I invested in this one guy. The value of one. The one God, the one Jesus Christ, the one Holy Spirit, God the Father, and the one man that I can invest in, and to see that vision. That's what we're focusing on. I also learned from Bob Foster. He said, and then of course David also talked about this a lot, as the businessman's verse. What gets us distracted from that vision in life? And Bob talked about it's silver, self, slothfulness, and sex. And that's what I learned in rooms like this right here, you know, from the retreat. He said, those four things will get you distracted. My grandpa used to say, there's two things that will ruin a good man. It's women and whiskey. It's the two W's. That for sure. I proved that for sure. But obviously, you know, the verses, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word and make it unfruitful. Dwight Hill talked about, in these rooms, he talked about the fact that it's not discipline that's what we're lacking in our life. It's a control of our appetite. Our appetites for the things of this world versus the things of eternity. And so we need to be focusing again on that vision and not losing sight of the vision of God in our lives and what this life is all about. And that we're citizens of heaven, and understanding our identity in Christ is absolutely essential to understand that and where we're going in our life.
So what's the difference between controlling the appetite and discipline?
What's the difference? I don't know.
You said it's not the discipline, it's the appetite.
He was saying in terms of that it's our appetites for these things versus you can discipline all yourself all you want to, but are you controlling your appetite?
People like having appetites. They don't like having discipline.
That's good, Rick.
No,
that's
question
a very
about
Rick
it.
Ism.
Yes, that's good. So, what does anybody have? 1 Chronicles 29:11-13.
Got to memorize in the Living Bible.
That's fine. Yeah.
Yours is the mighty power and glory and victory and majesty. Everything in the heavens and earth is yours, O Lord. And this is your kingdom. We adore you as being in control of everything. Riches and honor come from you alone, and you are the ruler of all mankind. Your hand controls power and might, and it is at your discretion that men are made great and given strength.
Amen. Yes, we give you thanks, Lord, and praise your glorious name. So let's pray for a second. Lord, we just pray, we just ask that you just reveal yourself to us in ways that we can't even imagine. that we praise you right here and right now in this very moment. I pray that you just give us a vision of you, that it can only come from you. I pray that we just surrender all the stuff that we carried in from the world. If that hasn't gone, we just lay it all at your foot of the cross now. And we just ask that you reveal yourself to us in ways that we can understand. Give us eyes to see as you see ourselves and those around us, and most of all, to see you, your glory, your splendor, your majesty. Lord, heaven and earth is yours. Strip away all of our limiting beliefs. Take it all away from us now and reveal to us our purpose, why you created each one of us and why we're on this earth. Lord, I pray that you just search us and test us, see if there's any fears and offensive ways to you, and may we surrender all that to you. We confess that now, and we ask for your forgiveness. So have your way with us now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.
Can I
yes, sir.
A thought about, please. You asked the question about our vision of God.
Yeah.
And so as I've matured in my relationship with the Lord, my vision has changed. And initially, I was an atheist prior to coming into the kingdom. So initially, my vision of God was that he was the creator. And so I was the creature. That was my first vision of God. But, you know, there's a huge gap between the creator and the creature. So as I continued to pursue him, my vision of God changed to where he was my Abba Father. Hmm. Not just the creator, but he was my Abba Father. And I was a child of God. Well, there's still a gap between the father and the child, right? Well, now as I continue to pursue him, I'm beginning to develop a vision of God as my husband. And I'm his wife. He's the lover. I'm the beloved. Because with the husband and wife, there's no gap. There's one flesh. So that's where my vision of God is coming to right now, is him as my husband and me as his bride.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Yeah, that's beautiful. I shared with you last night my testimony, right, in terms of listening to Gordon Adams when he was teaching on Song of Solomon's at Mo Ranch. And I just remember, you know, he was talking in the middle of things and he just said, well, are you okay with Jesus kissing you on the lips? You know, that husband and wife thing, because it was on the Bride of Christ. And I'm like, no, I'm not okay with that. I can't hang with that. You know, this is not a good thing, you know. I'm like, and so I was, you know, I wasn't where you were at this time, right? Because I was like, but I mean, that was on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, hump day, all of a sudden I changed my name tag and I wrote Bride of Christ. And I put it on my door, Bride of Christ. And I was like, man, if Jesus wanted to kiss me on the lips, I'm cool with that. I don't care. You know, I'm okay with it. Because I know it's not like that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's a whole different thing, you know, hanging out with Jesus. Because I'm the bride of Christ. Yeah. Wow, you guys are the bride of Christ. As Rick said, so thank you for that, right? That's awesome. All right, any other comments about vision of God? Anybody have anything else to share?
It took me quite a while to accept God as my father because of my relationship with my temporal father, you know. Mm. And I think that's a struggle that a lot of men have, and that, you know, if your vision of your father is, you know, is distorted, whatever it might be, whatever the conditions of growing up might be, and then to be able to accept God as your father, as your Abba Father, as you said, which I have grown into that, but it took a long time for me to come to that realization because of my upbringing and you know, everything that I went through with my relationship with my temporal father. So I just want to point that out, that, you know, it took me a good while and a good time, a lot of looking internally as to what's going on, what's causing this issue, and then coming to the realization that God is my Heavenly Father, and he's going to be my eternal Father, and you know, so I always want to bring that up because I'm sure that's not alone in that, you know.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. I shared that with my testimony about Rob Ketterer, and he, you know, at a retreat just like this as well. And I learned that same concept that you just talked about, Jim. And Sam was saying, yeah, Rob was here last week, you know. And I'm like, no way, that's cool, you know. I mean, it's just amazing how God uses us and blesses us, and we don't even have a clue of what he's using, whatever may come about, right? All right, so God's ultimate purpose. What is our ultimate purpose? Our ultimate purpose is to do what with the Lord? What's our fill in the blank, our first fill in the blank?
To bring glory.
Yeah, that's right, to glorify God, right? So Romans 15:6, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 15:6, right? And of course, I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. And I brought you glory on the earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. It's about glorifying God. So let me ask you this question. I'm not going to ask it, actually. Well, I am going to ask it. You can share it in your discussion group. But how do you feel that life is not about you? It's not about you, guys. Sorry. But you can share. I want y'all to share that in your discussion group here in a minute, you know, and you can share about your thoughts about that. But it's about bringing God glory. But guess what? I was just reminded, Doug helped me remind when Bob was cutting up the bananas this morning. He was cutting off the little dark ends of the bananas, you know. And he's cutting them off, and he's putting them to the side. Doug was grabbing them and eating them. And I was like, you know what? I've been that way, right? It's the crumbs. And I'm like, man, if I just get a little bit of the crumbs, I get a little bit of the crumbs and from God's glory, how great is that? To get a little bit of the crumbs, because it's a good thing. So when I'm glorifying God, guess what's happening with me? What happened to Jesus? Am I to be one with Jesus? What did happen to Jesus?
He was glorified,
right? Wow. So if I get out of the way and let God work through me, and I glorify Him, and I'm focused on glorifying Him, guess what's going to happen for me? Yeah, I mean, and you know, I shared that even just... it was a raw deal to get thrown down to the bottom of the ranking for stuff that I didn't. And I had the best performance ever. And I got hammered. Completely unfair. Guys, life is unfair. God didn't say it was going to be fair. But guess what? He glorified me. He's raised me up for this influence that I don't deserve. But yet, he's the one that's running that show. And I'm just very thankful for it, right? I mean, that's a God deal. That ain't me. So, what does it mean to glorify God? What does it mean to glorify God? Come on, guys. We got to move? Hey, wait. We got to move?
I was thinking about shining the light. Shining the light on something. Spotlight on God.
There you go. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I would say for me, it's just letting Him sit on the throne in my life, realizing that the work that's being done that I get to be a part of is not, you know, based just solely on my ability to do it, but He uses all of those experiences and those gifts and those things, and He throws it in the pot. Just being yielding to Him. Like you guys both talked about this, you and Ray both talked about being the bride of Christ, like that. Obviously, as a man, it's foreign in the flesh, but from a spiritual perspective, to me, it's about being willing to be in submission and trusting that He knows the best way for me to live my life.
Yeah.
And that will reflect in others.
That's awesome.
It's glorifying to God when I have Jesus as Lord of my life. If I'm obedient to God, that brings God glory. I do what God would have me do instead of what I want to do, that is glorifying to God.
Yeah, no, it's good. Anybody else? Yeah.
First Chronicles 29, 11, and 12.
Yeah.
Says it all.
Yeah, I agree. I think one thing that I've learned along the way is a gentleman had shared to me, it's about enhancing his reputation. It's enhancing God's reputation. You know, am I an ambassador for Jesus Christ into the world? An ambassador is somebody that has been designated, that qualifies, has this qualification. I didn't get any of that qualification, but God has raised me up and has qualified, equipped me to be His ambassador, to be His representative in the world. And He's given me the authority to do that. Man, what was he thinking? You know what I'm saying? I mean, and so that brings us to the next point, is what do we got to believe? Believe God has a plan for your life and God's purpose will prevail. So believe God has a plan for your life and God's purpose will prevail. And so Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13, and Sam talked about that on the back end of that. But again, is that, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. You know, I mean, God has a plan for us. And it's hope. There's a future. There's a compelling future that we have. Again, going back to the vision of God, right? Yet, there's something I need to do. What is that I need to do?
You need to believe God has a plan.
Yeah, I do. And so, God, man. I can't remember now. One of our other gentlemen, one of the things I picked up from him, he said here in these rooms, he said, actually it was Gordon Adams. No, it wasn't. It was Gail Jackson. Sorry. Gail Jackson. And he said, knowing is not believing. Believing is knowing plus obedience. And so, when I think about it, what I say, you know, it's a formula that I've come along the way, and that's kind of the engineering anal side of me and my OCD, is that faith equals belief plus action. Faith is belief plus action. I've got to believe that chair Gary's sitting in, Gary had to believe that chair was going to hold him up before he sat in it. But I know, of course you didn't think about it, but... You have faith, right? Because most chairs you sit in are going to hold you up, right? We have that. And so our minds are created to take those shortcuts. And so we take that shortcut because, again, we conserve energy. We're an energy plant. So we got to take those shortcuts. So God has given us those little things. But that's where we can get into some bias and unbiased, you know, recognitions from that standpoint. We get biased, you know, blindsided from some of that. In some aspects, right? But belief plus action is equal to faith. So I've got to believe and I've got to take action on that belief, and then ultimately that's faith, right? The Lord Almighty has sworn, surely as I plan, so it will be, as I purpose, so it will happen, Isaiah 14, 21. And then, of course, Isaiah 55, 8 through 11. My thoughts are not His thoughts. My ways are not His ways. What comes out of my mouth, it will not return to me empty. It will accomplish its purpose. So, the principle here I learned is that God's plan will prevail, whether I participate in it or not. And there's loss if I don't. And I don't like loss. I don't want to miss what God's got in store. I don't know if you didn't pick that up from my testimony, but I want to get involved in it. I'm like the little kid over there that says, put me in, coach, put me in. You know, I'm like, man, I got to go. What? And there's another thing over there? Let's go. You know, I don't want to lose out of God being able to be a vessel, a divine vehicle for God's activity, right? To give Him glory and to give Him the glory and be a part of what he's doing. But I get to participate with him. I'm not doing it, but he's doing it in me and through me. So I didn't believe that there was a way God had a plan for my life to glorify him. But as Sam talked about as well, and I'm sure as I've learned from many of you just talking last night, we all kind of felt that way, right? But yet God took our brokenness, just like he did Peter. What do you do with Peter? Peter denied him 3 times. And yet he restored him. And then gave him authority to go out and tell and share and be on mission and ministry to bring God glory.
Russell,
yes, sir.
Did you say that God's purposes for my life will prevail even without my participation?
Did I say that?
Maybe. So. You're lost if you don't participate.
Yeah.
Okay, I was asking for clarification.
I guess what I'm saying is, if it's God's plan, it's going to prevail, whether I participate in it or not.
So you are saying that God's plan for my life will prevail, even apart from my participation?
Well, I didn't say your life. I just said God's plan. Right? But maybe.
So are you saying maybe God invites you into something?
That's correct.
You can choose or not to choose.
That's correct.
Enter into that. That's what I heard you say.
Yes.
Fair enough.
Yes. And then we get to participate with him in that. And then ultimately, begin, he'll raise up the rocks to praise him, right? He talks about that. He'll raise up the rocks to glorify him and praise him whether we are doing it or not. So at the end of the day, his plan is still going to prevail. Now, whether I get to participate in it or not is the question.
Or choose to participate.
Choose to participate, yes. Rick, any other thoughts on that? Your thoughts?
No, clear that up for me.
Okay, that's good. And then the third point is the two greatest focuses of my life are to love God with my all and to love others as myself. And so when I think about the ultimate purpose is, again, to glorify God, that he's got a plan, it will prevail no matter what. God's plans will prevail. His purposes will prevail. And that I'm commanded to focus on loving him with my all and loving others as I love myself. Right? And so I think, and again, I've just put, again, the Mark 12, 29 through 31, and then John 13, 34 through 35. God says that he made me to know him and love him. You were made by God to know and love God. You were created as an object of God's love. The Bible says God is love, and God made you simply to love you. Did you hear that? God made you simply to love you. The reason you're alive, the Bible teaches, is that God made you, created you, love you. And God only asks for 2 things. Love him with your all. And love others as you love yourself. And so the question that I ask you guys is, how are you doing in loving yourself as God loves you? I still have that negative voice in the back of my head that comes in. You're not good enough, Russell. And I have to rebuke that. I rebuke you in the name of Satan. Of the name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ. Sorry. I rebuke that thought. I'm not going to listen to it. It's a lie from the pit of hell. I am good enough. God said I was good enough. He created me good enough. I need to accept that. I need to accept God's love for me. So hopefully that's not holding you back from what God has in store for me in your life.
Yeah, I've shared on many occasions that if you can't love yourself, it's really difficult to love others, your self-worth through God and through, your Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, proves that you're good enough,
If I can't love myself, I'm calling God a liar. Hmm. Because of what he says about me. The question is, do I believe it?
Fair enough.
That is the question. I will say, Russell, I like the last part where you got application here. Like, I know it's kind of far into your worksheet, but I was thinking about what you were just asked as far as loving myself. I don't know that I can say I love myself. I know there are moments where I love myself in a very shallow and just typical way that most of us love ourselves. Because if we didn't love ourselves, we wouldn't get up out of bed in the morning and put clothes on anything. But the Lord's really been dealing with me on this is number 16 and 17 is application on page 5 where it says tie and save and then physically train and care for my body. I'm finding that as I'm striving to do those things are very difficult for me. The first 4 seem to be natural to me and they're more, maybe not natural, but they seem to be things I don't strive in as much as these things that seem to pertain more closely to loving myself in the way that God would have. That way that God would love me. And so he has definitely been dealing with me on these 2 things. And they take the most effort. Where I don't have to think so much about a life of simplicity. I prefer it that way. You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, loving myself is like, okay, here's these weaknesses I have, and God wants me to be able to fully experience, you know, the life he has in store for me. But my effort in that, letting him be on the throne, is to save money, to tithe, and so where I'm supposed to and try to take better care of myself, which I never learned growing up at all. So, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
I just wanted to point that out.
No, that's awesome.
I thought it was relevant to your question.
Well, I think this verse in Mark, this passage, Jesus would indicate that we don't have any problem loving ourselves. He says, love others as you love yourself.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of it, maybe we have a hard time forgiving ourselves.
Yeah.
Maybe we have a hard time respecting ourselves. But I always feed myself. I never let myself go hungry.
Yeah.
I always give myself the benefit of the doubt.
I want to
give you the benefit of the doubt. But this is, I don't have any problem loving myself. I have a problem loving others as I love myself.
Yeah. No, that's a very good point.
Well,
yes.
I have a little bit different take on this. As far as loving myself, it's easier than unconditionally, globally loving others. In this day and time, if you're not discerning relationships and people that come into your life, it's awfully hard because there's a lot of people that are out there that are either trying to scam you, kill you, molest you, burglarize you, and I just can't look at everybody and say, I love you, unconditionally, come on in. And the discernment, as you grow older, is more important, I think, because you're trying to protect the safety of those that are around you, and most of the people that are around me now are in their 80s and 90s.
Right.
And they're constantly getting barraged with people trying to take their money.
Yeah.
Predators.
Yeah.
Predators.
That's right.
So, I want to be globally loving, but I'm not there.
Yeah. And, yeah, no, that's a very good point, Bob. And Rick, you just talked about in terms of that selfish love. That's what I call selfish love. I don't know if that's really receiving God's love for me. I question it because, I think when I think about if I'm truly receiving God's love for me, then I am allowing Christ to flow through me to love others, regardless. If I'm truly receiving God's love, I'm overflowing. I have all of my needs are met in Christ. So I'm not have to worry about selfishly getting what I need that's lacking anymore. It's flowing through me. I'm overflowing. He says, my cup overfloweth, right? In terms of love for Christ. So when I'm truly got to the understanding of what is lacking in me, so if there's lack in me, guess what? I'm taking. Because it's all about me still. But if there's no lack in me, if I've truly filled my vessel, my life is full of Christ, I'm not worried about me anymore. I'm focused on other people. I'm focused on loving people and meeting their needs and where they're going. Yes?
It's kind of, I guess, with what Bob said,
is that we know Satan's out there. And to a certain extent, we sometimes can't love the burglar. We can't love the person who obviously is not seeing God and is filled with Satan. So maybe that's where I've got to get to, because that's kind of my checking point. That's kind of my, until I know I can trust, I'm trying to, you know, I'd protect every one of you guys in here as well as my family. I mean, that's just me.
Yeah. Jay?
Well, because you love somebody does not mean that you have to trust them. Jesus trusted
nobody. No man. No. Yeah, that's right.
That's first thing.
Yeah.
Second thing, in the light of the scripture that says, none are righteous, no, not one.
No, not one.
And I can't love myself as a righteous person, not. So, yeah, love people, don't trust them.
Yeah.
And know that all men are unrighteous, including me.
Yeah.
I'm an unrighteous person. I don't love that part of myself.
Yeah.
I love it, but I don't love that.
Yeah. Because we still have the flesh, right?
Yeah,
we have been made righteous in Christ. I mean, we got to remember, we have been made righteous in Christ because we know Jesus, right? We are righteous because of Christ and Christ alone. That's it. But the human flesh is still, we're still in this human flesh. And this human flesh is sin nature. We're delivered from sin, but we're not delivered from the human flesh. The sin nature still exists, and we're still, and that's really the battle that we're talking about, the daily battle that we're dealing with every day. Is walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh? Are we pleasing the Spirit? Are we pleasing God? Are we pleasing Jesus Christ? Are we pleasing our flesh? Right? And that's my choice. Every single day, I make that decision. Again, I go back to the future. I mean, I go back to that future vision of God and what my compelling vision of God is, and I'm willing to walk in that. Levi.
I like 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 9.
Yeah?
It says, but understand this, in the last days there will come times of difficulty for people who will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, wicked, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. And it says, avoid such people. Among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sin, and lead astray various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so that these men also opposed truth, men corrupted in the mind and disqualified regarding the faith, but they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two.
Yeah, no, it's...
What was that, 2 Timothy 1?
Chapter 3,
1 through 9. Chapter 3, verse 1 through 9.
Thank you.
No, it's great, Levi, and I think that leads us right into the next section about God's specific purpose for your life. Maybe Bob's purpose for his life now is to be the lead sheep of the flock, of those that he knows around him, to protect them. So we were just talking about, Sam and I were talking about this morning, how Satan loves to pick us off one by one, right? So the worst thing you can do is get alone and not stay connected to godly men and like-minded believers, because Satan will pick you off one by one and he'll devour you. And it starts with a thought. I'm not good enough. Man, I suck. I failed again. Golly, what a loser. It starts with a thought. How are you feeding your mind? What's your vision? How do you start the day focused on who you are in Christ? So there's two things that are key on your specific purpose, God's specific purpose for your life. When you are at the end of your life, you're about to go in, step off into the grave. Get there for a moment. Do you see it? You're about to step off into the grave. What are the two things that matter the most? Now, you're in the grave. They're having your funeral. What are they talking about? What are they talking about? Are they talking about all the fish you caught? Are they talking about all the accomplishments you had? Are they talking about, you know, the job titles that you had over the years and all that? No. We're talking about, number one, who you are, who you become. So that's that first blank there, who you become. So who do you become in Christ? Are you your identity in Christ? Character development. It's spiritual growth. We've got to grow. So the first thing is, the first principle, you got to grow. So who do you become? The second thing is what did you contribute? So growth and contribution are those two things. You got to grow. Because guess what happens to things that don't grow? Yeah. There's green out here. You look outside, there's all this green out there. That's growing, right? The brown in here on the wood for the decking, what color's that? Brown. It's dead. It's still useful. Our bodies, when they go in the ground, they're still going to be useful. They're going to be fertilizer for the worms. But that's about it, right? So who did we become and what did we contribute? That's the two things that are going to matter at the end of the day. And the who that we become is our identity in Christ. Did we become? Romans 8, 28 through 29, right? We are conformed to His image. He created us. He makes all things work together for our good. And He is conforming us to His image. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Anybody have that? Anybody have Romans 12, 1 and 2?
Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world.
But be transformed
by renewing your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Amen.
An assist from my friend Ray.
Yes, indeed. So be transformed by the renewing of our mind, right? So we're being transformed. We renew our mind with God's Word and the Holy Spirit, and then we go and apply that in our life through the power of the Holy Spirit, and then we are transformed by God, by Christ, by the Holy Spirit. We're transformed. Amazing, right? So maybe back to your point, God's purpose prevails and God's plan prevails in us. Because what is it? Philippians 2:12, right? 12 through 13. For it is God that is working in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. So maybe that's our answer. That God is going to continue to work in your life. If you know Jesus, He's going to continue. He's going to continue working in your life, whether you like it or not. You can keep running, right? He says, we're going to try to run and get away from Him. Psalms 139, we're going to try to do everything we can to get away. You can't hide from God. He's always around. He's always with us. He's for us. He loves us. He's rooting for us. He's cheering for us. And He's making all things new in our life every single day we wake up. So I gave you a sheet back here in your handout. It's your identity in Christ. And it says who God says you are. I'm a new creation. I'm a child of God. I'm justified, redeemed. I'm a saint. My body is the temple of God. I'm a loving, grateful, playful, humble, gentle, curious, flexible, outrageously generous child of God. That's what I say to myself every single morning I wake up. I step into my identity. And how do I show up in my identity? I look through the day and I think about, okay, who am I going to meet today? How am I going to show up as my identity? Do I see that playing out? Joshua 1, 8, and 9, right? Talking about a successful life, but I meditate on God's word day and night. That's a successful life. That's going to give me success in life, right? Meditate. What is meditate? What's a vision? You see it in your mind's eye before it even works. Before it even comes true, you see it in your mind's eye. So, we're going to stand up for a second, and I want to do a little exercise. So, let's stand up. We'll stand up. And I want you to close your eyes, and you're going to, but before you close your eyes, I want you to stand here and hold your finger out in front of you, so make sure you don't poke your neighbor in the eyeball, okay? So hold your, and then make where you can turn. You're going to turn this away, so make sure you spread out a little bit. You got to turn. So what we're going to do is, we're going to have our finger out in front of us, and we're going to close our eyes, and you're not going to close your eyes on the first time.
Yeah.
You're going to keep your eyes open, you're going to turn, and you're going to see how far you turn, okay? And then the second time, we're going to close our eyes and not actually move, but we're going to see ourselves move 10 to 20% further than we did the last time. And then the third time, we're going to go and keep our eyes open and turn and go that way. So number one, let's get yourself and turn as far as you can. Go. There you go. Yep. All right. You got that spot on the wall? Okay, good. All right. Now, let's come back. Close your eyes. And don't actually turn this time, but just see yourself turning and see yourself turning 10, 20, 30, 40, 50%. You're like, you feel like an owl. You see yourself, you're almost turning all the way around like an owl. Wow, that's incredible. All right, open your eyes. Now, let's turn. You ready? 1, 2, 3. Go, 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 go. How far did you go?
Further.
Huh?
Further.
Okay, good. So, isn't that amazing how... Y'all can sit back down there. Isn't that amazing how just by visualizing yourself move in that direction, you saw it in your mind's eye, you made it all the way around even that much further. If you wake up every morning and step into your identity in Christ, how much more can you see that? If you see yourself going throughout the day as your identity in Christ and showing up as who you are in Christ, how much more will that make a difference in your life? Alright, last but not least, I'm going to land here for the sake of time, and this is why I gave you a whole bunch of stuff in your little handout, because I knew this is a very lofty subject that we're talking about. But I want to talk about your shape real quick before we finish the morning session here. And one of the other things that God uses is your shape to determine your specific purpose that He created you for. Okay? So your shape stands for your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, and your experiences. And I gave you some verses here. And then what are your top spiritual gifts? Like for me, it's apostolic leadership, it's shepherding, hospitality. I mean, most of y'all, if you haven't yet, I want you to come over for July 4th, big barbecue, fireworks. But anyway, I love serving, and hospitality is one of my gifts, and that's what I do. And you know what? I love doing it. And so those are some of my spiritual gifts. Heart. What is your heart? What is your passion? You know, in terms of that, what do you love doing? I love fishing. I love being outdoors. As I said, I love being on the front row of seeing God change people's lives and imparting the life of Christ. I mean, I love it. That's why I want to get in life coaching. I really want to get in life coaching. Why do I want to get in that? Because I love doing it, meeting with guys. But number two, I want to get in people's lives that don't know Jesus. And that's another way to do it. And I can be under the guise in my stealth mode and get in people's lives and keep bringing them one step closer to Jesus. So that's what I want to do. My abilities is that coaching, mentoring, learning, leading, connecting, speaking, communicating, encouraging, all these things, all these different abilities. I love to weld, firefighting, engineering, heavy machinery, woodworking, you know, working on engines, whatever, right? Your personality, right? I mean, in terms of the Berkman, I told you some of the little things. There's personality profile tests out there. There's spiritual gift inventory tests online that you can take. I mean, these things are the way God has shaped you uniquely to be able to move in your life. And then, of course, you know, because of the Berkman, I'm a people doer, direct communicator, you know. And so that's kind of my gig. I'm a green and I'm a green guy and a red guy, you know. And so that's kind of where I live. But you know what? I hang out with a lot of people that are blue and yellow. God puts the people that are opposite with me. I got one guy I'm discipling that's kind of like me, but most of everybody else that I'm dealing with, you know, that God's put in my life are not necessarily green and red people, you know? And so anyway, that's kind of, and then of course, your experiences. And I talked about that, you know, again, one of the things of why I started out with these real estate companies, I started learning about these real estate companies and trying to build these real estate companies because I wanted to learn how to operate a business. I started two operational businesses up in Papua New Guinea and Alaska with ExxonMobil. And then, of course, I'm trying to learn, well, how do I run a business? Because I can't go off and do Your Chance Ranch, Recovery Ranch, without knowing some sense of running a business, right? So I'm going to go out there and learn how to run a business. I've lost money trying to learn how to run a business, but doggone it, I'm learning. I'm learning. And I'm not letting fear hold me back anymore. That's the key thing. I'm not letting fear. I was always afraid. Play it safe. Play it safe. Play it safe. I'm a safety professional. Play it safe. No, you need to have some risk. Life's risky. Life's hard. It's not about me. I need to be whatever it is, God, what do you want me to do? I need to be out there doing it, right? I mean, being broken, giving my life to Christ. You know, living in a desert in Qatar. I got prayer call 5 days a week. You know, five times a day, the sirens were going off. Guess what you would think about? I thought about Jesus, right? I'm like, well, what else are you going to think about, you know? It's great. You should do that on your phone. You should put an alarm on there. Need to pray to Jesus. Okay, good. You know, I mean, all these things. I mean, I have a ton of experiences. I mean, you know, from Major Ian Thomas, you know, learning how to abide in Christ, being a full moon of the true Son, the Son of Jesus Christ, right? Being a full moon. I learned that from him. You know, again, Proverbs 31 woman and accepting I'm the bride of Christ that we talked about. And then, of course, you know, how to study God's Word and understanding forgiveness. You know, don't look back after you make the commitment to follow Jesus. Bob Foster taught me that in rooms like this. Luke 9:62. Hey, you used to be this, you know, your identity was in as a, you know, fire protection and safety engineer at ExxonMobil. That's where your identity was. Burn that. Don't look back. Your identity is in Jesus Christ today. You know, that's what he taught me, right? I'm an overcomer because of Jesus, and all things are possible. My mentor at work that was diagnosed with MS, Guy Miller, you know, and the fact that he's just continued to persevere. It's called, what I tell my family, it's called stick-to-itness. Whatever God's called you to, you stick to it. And you keep going on regardless of the adversity in your life. And then, you know, focus on my faith and the wheel and suit up every day with my armor. Rick Shelton, right? Yep. I mean, all these things. Dave DeWitt and the mature man and the biblical view of faith and understanding that. Kingdom vision and investing my life in what matters most from Dwight Hill. I mean, you know, I can go on and on. I mean, you know, Gary and teaching me about loving my wife as Christ loved the church. Wow. You know, I mean, I can just go on and on about how awesome it is to be in rooms like this with guys like you investing in what matters the most, and that's Jesus Christ in our life and being one with Him. and focusing on who we become and what we contribute. Okay, we're going to stop there. We're going to have some small group discussion. Right, John?
Yep.
And then we will pick back up this afternoon, because I want you to think about now, as we're having the small group discussion, and then you got some free time and hang out, we're going to eat lunch, and then we'll jump back in. But we are going to write our purpose statement this afternoon. So whatever God brings to your heart, I want you to be thinking about that as we go through and what we kind of talked about here today. And then we'll land, as we say. All right? Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Robert.
Awesome.